This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get their work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday. It's Tuesday, right? It's Uniform Day. It's April 23rd. Tuesday. It is Tuesday. Good to be with you. Thank you for getting up with us here. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. My name is Sean Pendergast. His name is Seth Payne. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm excited. I'm excited for everybody who's excited about the uniform unveiling. You know what occurred to me, too? And you had mentioned this last week. But it's really not as much the uniform unveiling that I'm more focused on. And it's like, for me, it's the other apparel. Like the T-shirts. The jerseys,
yeah.
Stuff like that, because that's just how you know, the hats, like that hat that Cal was wearing when they kind of confirmed that helmet that leaked was probably the right one.
Right.
Like I like the way that font looks on that hat. So for me, I'm not as even concerned about what the actual uniforms look like. I just want to look at the gear that I might get from it.
Yeah. I think, you know, and I had some things. I've still got three hours and 59 minutes of being confined to a non-disclosure agreement, Seth. So I'm going to hold off on my opinions on the various usages of colors and everything like that until then. I don't, this is the slow time of year. You know, like I'm a little more, the cash flow is a little bit better during football season. So I don't want to get sideways with any lawyers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. It's not like during football season when you're like, screw them all. Let them sue me.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, everywhere we go, it's kind of embarrassing sometimes. You'll tip over stuff on the way out.
Oh,
you're like, I'm swimming in it, baby. Go ahead and sue me.
I'm lighting cigars with $100 bills during football season. I'm just, yeah, this is that. Until my son passes the bar and he can just defend me pro bono.
Yeah.
Then I'm gonna tippy toe. But I'm with you on the gear, like, you know, like hoodies and golf shirts and things like that. I'm not a big jersey wearer, and that's not to say I look down on people who wear jerseys at all. Go buy the jerseys by all means. It looks so cool in the stadium out there during the pregame. Everybody in their Texans jerseys. That's just not my deal. So I'm looking forward to a little H-Town Blue gear and stuff like that. It'll be good, man. It'll be good.
I was thinking about is it Rocky V when Rocky says sue me for what?
Yeah, that's Rocky V. Yeah,
to Tommy Gunn.
Yes.
Yeah, that's you.
That's me.
You right now.
I'm punching the NDA in the stomach.
You can't be down. You can't be punched any lower. You're just down there already.
That's
sue
it, man.
Sue me for what?
That's it. Did you see the Broncos drop their uniforms yesterday?
They
got the jump on us.
Look, I'm a Netflix baby. So if I get 2 minutes into something and it doesn't hold my attention, I'm moving on before it shows up on my continue watching list.
Yes.
That it looked like a very well done video, but I couldn't make it a minute and a half into that thing. There's too much driving of a Bronco across the plains.
You don't know what it is. Like you know what it is because you're clicking on it from an NFL account or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm a minute and a half in. I'm like, is this a Western or is this a uniform reveal? What are we doing here?
Are we going to watch these like cowboys get down? Is this a Brokeback Mountain? Like, what is going on?
Yes.
There's a cowboy who jumps in a vintage Bronco and he's driving across the plains racing an actual horse. And at some point, I don't know, are they making an OJ joke? tasteless IMO.
Right.
But still, yeah, I didn't get to the end of it. Did they actually show the jersey? I thought they, I zoomed to the end and all I saw was like a little, like a glimpse, like a little shadow or swath across the jersey.
They got
they
to
can
the,
all go die.
They got,
I'm sick of the Broncos and Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson modeling your stupid jersey, making it a tasteless OJ joke.
They got to the jerseys. They're not drastically different than what they were wearing. They're just, you know, like a little more modern in the trim and stuff. Like no change. I didn't see like a new color rush one or anything like that. I'm with you. Like I'm like, are we gonna get to this at some point here? I've been told that the Texans video is better than the Bronco video by
oh,
somebody.
Good.
Yeah, I don't wanna give up my source, but I've been told. I said I texted my somebody in the building. I said, hey, are you guys gonna be doing this tomorrow? Tomorrow meaning today. I did this yesterday.
Yeah.
By dropping a video at 10 a.m. like the Broncos did. And the person I texted said, like the Broncos video, ? Like with like three question marks. I'm like, well,
yeah,
better than the Broncos video. And they said, yes, better than the Broncos okay. video. Yeah.
It is a pretty cool jersey. I'm looking at it now. It's the Orange Crush with almost looks like a University of Florida get up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go. Zach Wilson will be just looking awesome in an Orange Crush jersey. I think the problem with the Broncos video, Sean, mm-hmm. was it felt like, you know, when you're watching a movie and you're like, okay, they're clearly trying to win a cinematography Oscar.
Yes.
Here.
Like, yes.
All right, there's a bunch of artsy stuff going on that I'm sure there's 0.1% of the population that is just blown away by their choice of f-stop
right.
or something. But like I just don't care. I don't care.
If there were an Oscars for uniform reveal videos,
yeah,
then all the hoity-toity snobs within the Academy would be gushing over the Broncos video yesterday.
Over the cinematography.
I hope the Texans make like The Hangover or Old School. Or, you know, Wedding Crashers or some movie that would never get nominated by the Academy, but everybody loves it, you know?
I want the rating on Rotten Tomatoes to be 46% by the critics
yes.
and 97% by the
Perfect.
Fans.
Perfect, yes. You
That's
nailed
my
it.
Kind of movie,
you
baby.
Nailed 100%.
There's nothing better than when you see that blessed, like, you know, like, oh, yeah, the critics hated this, but the masses loved
yes.
it.
Yes, yes.
Give it to me. I don't care if there's subliminal messages in there.
Oh,
I
no.
just give it to me.
That's it, man. That's it.
The worst, you know, the worst is when it's got like a 46% fan audience score, but then like a 97% critic score.
Oh, yeah.
I can guarantee you those movies are almost always about something kind of like inside Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or like where the critics are watching like, I understand this story structure where the
right,
peasants
right,
don't.
Right.
I'm so impressed.
2 hours of pleasuring themselves, basically, is what that
so
is.
So we say all that to say that like Sean Payton's going to stab Zach Wilson between the shoulder blades.
Oh, we got to talk. We'll talk about Zach in the next segment. Holy smoke. Zach Wilson got traded to the Broncos yesterday. So yeah, 10 a.m. today. Who do we expect? Like I was thinking about this yesterday. Like it's a lock that Bun B and Paul Wall are part of this thing, right? Like because they've really Texans have leaned heavy into the hip hop culture.
Something with you had said like car culture.
Car culture that'll be in there. Copious amounts of skyline shots, I think, because it's speculated that the skyline is part of one of the uniforms on some of these quasi leaks that are out there.
What's the next Houston thing that the Texans can lean into other than Houston hip hop? Like NASA, they don't push the NASA stuff as much as the space themed
Astros.
Teams. Like the Astros and Rockets have. I mean it's in their actual name.
Yeah.
You almost have to really lean into the NASA part of it.
Yeah, yeah. I would say NASA. Bad
barbecue.
Weather. Bad weather. Barbecue.
1,000-year storms every 10 years.
1,000-year. Yep, yep. Biblical floods. just oppressive humidity.
the future aqueducts. The Houston future aqueducts. We've got a plan, everybody. We've got a plan. Yeah.
What are some things they could lean into? Hey, all those bats that are below the bridges over by
the bayou.
Oh, the bat colony.
You know what?
Yeah.
There should be more. We really do need to lean into that more. Mm-hmm. As a city and the sports culture around the city. If your kids have never been to the bats coming out from underneath the bridges on WA, it's awesome, man.
It is cool.
Really, really cool. Especially if it's on night. You want to go on a clear night, you know, where it's nice and cool. You need a little bit of a light sweater or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely a clear night where you can just see this. It's like, they're like plumes of bats leaving the city.
Yeah, man.
To go off and collect blood and insects from all over the damn state. They go a long ways.
So there you go. That's what we're doing. We're putting basically Batman uniform. The alternate uniform is going to be basically a Batman uniform.
Do the Texans have the guts to embrace bat culture?
That's right. That's right.
It may get not about Batman because that's a copyright. We're towing the line already with this H-Town Blue, so we have to. Yeah. We got to be super careful with any kind of Batman culture.
We've already got Amy Adams drunk on top of a building like a sniper, getting ready to see these uniforms today.
We got to be. Don't piss off the DC Comics people because they will shut you down.
They got lawyers.
In the corniest way possible.
Lawyers. They got lawyers.
Cousin, boom, bam.
Yeah. Hey. We got Ross Tucker coming on the show today at 7:15.
Feels down. I feel like you got swimming in cash like you are during the football season. You'll be feeling like that football season. You'll be feeling like you're swimming in cash.
Oh yeah,
because we got Ross Tucker on like we do during the football season.
That's it, man. That's right. The Pavlovian feeling of having Ross Tucker on the show. I'm anxious to see what he has to say about the Texans offseason. We haven't caught up with him in a while.
We haven't caught up with him, and he's very positive about a lot of the things the Texans are doing. He also covers Philly, the Eagles, quite a bit. So I'm kind of curious about maybe there's a side of the whole Saquon Barkley saga that, some of these things they're like common knowledge up where a player is, but the rest of the league hasn't picked up on the story or something.
Turns out the Eagles might have tampered with Saquon Barkley. Did you see that yesterday?
I'm curious about this. Is this something that it seems like the Saquon Barkley tampering and the Kirk Cousins tampering has really been just a little bit of light tampering?
Well,
that would it have even been brought up if it weren't for Florio beating the drum so steadily?
Well, Cousins brought it up himself in his press conference. That was the problem with that.
Right, but I feel like sometimes people say things like there have been. I never bring it up. I mean, sometimes like your own favorite team might say something that sounds a little bit like, and I shut my damn trap about
it. So, do you think Florio is making an impact here?
I think
he's the squeaky wheel getting the grease here?
I think because a lot of people just read Florio because it's a lot of league people. Yeah. They read Pro Football Talk because it's an easy way
to get
everything that's going on, kind of in real time.
Yep.
And I think that's enough. That it's on enough radar screens across the league and within teams that without Florio fanning the flames, I don't think it necessarily would have seen the light of day.
It sounds like there's degrees with this one though, because it's from what I read yesterday, the expectation is the Falcons are going to get whacked a whole lot harder than the Eagles are going to get whacked.
What's the Eagles-specific scenario?
I don't know. I know way more about the Falcons because Kirk Cousins basically walked up to a microphone and said exactly how they tampered with him. So I don't know exactly what the Eagles did with Saquon, but Cousins said, I talked to their trainer, and I may have talked. Oh, you know what it was with Saquon? Howie Roseman may have talked to him. Remember James Franklin did an interview and said, the Eagles and Howie Roseman called him and you're not supposed to call. They called him during the period where you're only supposed to be talking to their agents, not to the players themselves. That's what it was. So,
during the legal tampering period, it turns out is not, it's not all, it's not a free for all.
It's not open season. Yeah. All right. We're off and running on a Tuesday, 10 o'clock today. The Texans unveil the uniforms on social media. 10:01, they begin selling them. so be ready today. Cal McNair and Hannah McNair in studio with, in the loop at 11 a.m. today. So be on the lookout for that as well. Up next, Seth alluded to it. He mentioned it. Trade of a quarterback yesterday, and it just continues to reinforce how fortunate the Texans are to have C.J. Stroud, and I think a massive warning label for teams that are getting ready to take quarterbacks in the draft on Thursday. That is next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, good to be with you. Yeah, it is a new uni day. Split on the text page so far. A lot of people super psyched. A lot of people like, okay, We've been hyping this for a long time. Can we just drop them, please? I don't care about the video. I just want to see the uniforms. This is what they're supposed to do. They're marketing people. They're supposed to hype this stuff up, man.
Yeah, this is what the NFL excels at.
Yes.
Is turning otherwise, like previously almost not even thought about events into multi-week long events. The draft used to be done, well, originally it was done on the commissioner's kitchen table. Then after that, they moved on into hotel conference rooms. And once they started televising it, they maybe put up like a podium at the hotel conference room. But it's turned into this traveling circus that it is now. So, this is including, uniform unveilings.
I'm like counting down to the schedule release this year. You know what I mean? They haven't even given out, I haven't seen a firm date yet, but it feels like they've done it like the same Thursday of May for the last few years. They haven't started hyping that up yet, but I'm super amped for the schedule reveal this year.
What are the truly dead months still? Is it really because they turn the schedule release and a few other things in May?
June's the dead month.
June,
you can tell June's a dead month because that's when all the NFL people take their vacations. You know,
they take their vacations. The OTAs are over, so the players aren't around, so they're not even getting interviews with people. Nowadays, though, there are more interviews from podcasters and bloggers and athletes themselves putting stuff out on social media.
Yeah.
So something comes along in June. The only place where the NFL really hasn't held up its end of the bargain is that arrests are as low as they've ever been.
Yeah.
You used to rely on some... You used to get some drama in June and July, especially when guys had time on their hands. But now, you know, mostly I think just because of social media and the way the world works and everything, people don't go out as much as they used to. So they're not bumping into other people and getting in fights or car accidents as much as they used to.
Yep.
And B, everybody's super, super careful because everything can show up on video. There's surveillance cameras on every single person.
That's right.
If you're a pro athlete, there's a surveillance video camera on every single person.
Right now.
And yeah, so guys have to, your conscience, the old like your conscience is what you do when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
Somebody's always watching.
I know.
Always.
Yes.
Always.
Yep.
Always.
Yep.
So their conscience, everybody's conscience is impeccable because somebody is always watching.
It's true. It's true. So yesterday, God, I'm so glad we have CJ Stroud. Yesterday, Zach Wilson, number two overall pick, quarterback, 2 years before the Texans took CJ Stroud, was traded. So finally, Seth, we can say that of the five quarterbacks taken in the top 15 3 years ago, because they've all had three seasons now, the only one that's still with his current team. Forget about get his fifth year option exercise. Forget about be the starter in year three. The only one that's still with his team is Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick.
Yeah, yeah.
The other four have all been moved now. Zach Wilson traded, if you missed it, traded yesterday to the Denver Broncos for basically a 6-7 pick swap. That's like the lowest version of a trade of a player that you can have is like, all right, we're going to trade him and a seventh for a sixth.
That's the whole, like, in some way, shape, or form, allow me to save some face somehow.
Yeah. Well,
we're just not giving him to you. Give us something, yeah.
And the Jets had to pay part of his salary, too, so it's like an even lower level of a trade. I don't know. Like, so Zach Wilson moved to the Broncos yesterday.
Yeah.
And just to summarize, Trey Lance, of course, is on the Cowboys. He was drafted by the Niners. Justin Fields, it's been very well documented, is now a Steeler. And Mac Jones is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. So these guys are all backups now on other teams, with teams trying to salvage whatever it is the league saw in them coming in a few years ago.
And I'll just say one thing about Zach Wilson leaving the Jets. It is funny, like, in talking to Jets fans, Robert Saleh gets, like, zero benefit of the doubt from Jets fans because of everything that happened before Robert Saleh got there. But it's not like he chose Robert Saleh. That's not his choice.
Right.
And yet, they ended up... It's not like Robert Saleh chose Zach Wilson. Excuse me. It's not like it was Robert Saleh's choice. And I thought that, honestly, the performance of Jets... To actually win as many games as they did last year with a combination of those haphazard quarterbacks, I thought was actually pretty impressive by
7
the Jets.
7-10, I think, right?
Yeah. Like, nobody... This guy's awful. The performance Zach Wilson had versus the Texans is one of the things that freaks me out the most.
Yeah.
It was the best performance of his career.
Yep.
I feel like this is obviously going to be a make it or break it year for Robert Saleh, but good riddance, Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I guess this is where Thursday night, this is where it comes in for me, because I almost think there's like, in looking at the five quarterbacks now from that draft in 2021, which if we were to go back and watch, I'm sure everybody's gushing that night about, oh, Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, of course. Trevor Lawrence is going to be given all sorts of rope because he was the number one overall pick, and he's actually performed well at times, got a team to the playoffs. So I'm not trying to lump Trevor Lawrence in with these other four guys, but Trevor Lawrence, I think, 3 years in, has probably, if I had to skew towards disappointment or on his way, like probably slightly towards the side of disappointment right now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he got to the playoffs on a 9-8 team, won a playoff game. And then last year, they just had a monumental collapse that allowed the Texans to win the division. So, but he's going to get a contract, I think. Like, he's not going anywhere. If you look at this draft class, like, I almost think there's parallels. Like, Trevor Lawrence, generational prospect, air quotes. Caleb Williams, generational prospect, air quotes. Zach Wilson is in the two-hole right now, as we're going to hear later in the show. It looks like Jaden Daniels. Like, all indications are he's going to Washington. You know, kind of late bloomer, you know, he's mobile kind of thing. Like there's almost like Trey Lance project, Drake May project, you know, Justin Fields transferred from an SEC school and then had some success. You know, maybe that's Bo Nix transferred from Auburn, had some success at Oregon. And I've already drawn the parallel with Mac Jones and J.J. McCarthy. These are guys that are getting, you know, J.J. McCarthy is getting love. Why? Because he's a winner. You know, he won, you know, Mac Jones won a national championship at Alabama. Like, neither of them wow you with any, like, next-level physical traits, but they were drafted because they won a bunch of games, and then it turns out Mac Jones was a little, tennis circuit, hissy-fit baby boy.
I think the difference there, I would say, with J.J. McCarthy versus Mac Jones is I think there's much more of a sense with J.J. McCarthy that people look at the offense he was in, and they say, well, look, he does, when given the opportunity, he does some really, really good stuff. But like that was an offense that, like, on second and 15, they were going to run the ball.
Yeah.
You know, like, they would just, then they'd get stuff. And then on third and long, J.J. McCarthy would do something. So I think with scouts, the question is always, all right, well, was it that Harbaugh didn't trust him to do that really cool stuff consistently, or was it just that Harbaugh runs an old school offense and that's the way it's going to be?
I
thought with Mac Jones it was it was more of an engineered success that he had in college based on everybody around him.
Makes sense.
Well, in JJ, there are a lot, that's the tough thing. All of this boils down to, especially these days, all the things you just don't know. So like with all those guys that you just read off, Trevor Lawrence played in a simplistic offense, but that was awesome. Like, people had reservations about some of his actual physical ability, except he just had such a track record of success. Zach Wilson played behind an awesome offensive line in without playing against that genuinely good defenses. Trey Lance, raw as hell. Justin Fields, you know, went 11th for a reason. It wasn't like he was a slam dunk guarantee. So yeah, I think all the guys in this class, other than Caleb Williams, like, I feel like Caleb Williams is more naturally gifted, like, more obviously naturally gifted as a passer than Trevor Lawrence was.
Yeah, I would say so, too. Trevor Lawrence is, you know, he's a little unconventional. He's a little lanky, you know, he's got that kind of, he's got that Osweiler windup, kind of, right?
Yeah, he was almost at that borderline where people really don't like a 6'7" quarterback because of all of those issues like that. It's hard to be accurate, it's hard to have a quick release, all those things. Like, he's like a tall 6'5", but he plays like he might as well be 6'7".
A lot of people pointing out on the text page, Davis Mills is like one of the only one. Davis Mills and Trevor Lawrence, like, those are the two that are still with their original teams, because even the two guys that Davis Mills got drafted near, because it was the clump at the top of the draft that we just covered, and then it went a long time without any quarterbacks being picked, like the rest of the first and almost the whole second round. And then bam, 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 in three picks it went Kyle Trask, Kellen Mond, and Davis Mills. Yeah, man. Davis Mills, second best quarterback in his draft. He's probably the third best quarterback in the draft class. No, I would take Justin Fields still ahead of Davis Mills, but I think Davis Mills over Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or Mac Jones. Like, Davis Mills is actually Well, they say he's done some things. Like, he was on a couple bad Texan teams, but he's certainly he's a backup quarterback with a third round pick. Like, he's probably
there's
hitting
a less,
target.
There's a less than zero chance that Jerry Jones thinks that Trey Lance is the next guy that he's going to pluck from anonymity and obscurity. Like, different than obviously Tony Romo or Dak Prescott. Neither of those guys were high draft picks. Trey Lance was a very, very high draft pick, but people have largely given up on him because the very guy that traded up to get him has given up on him already. The 49er, Kyle Shanahan had scrammed to this dude.
And that's the wildest thing to me about the Trey Lance journey is it's like, it's not like it was some janky-ass team that decided to give up three firsts and move up and go get him. It was the guy who's widely viewed as the modern-day quarterback guru, the modern-day offensive guru.
I wanted nothing to do with Trey Lance simply because there is such a long list of quarterbacks who have played their best football under either Gary Kubiak or Kyle Shanahan. And, like, Brock Osweiler, for instance. We saw that here. You know, like, that they get the most out of guys that otherwise other coaches just can't get anything out of. So if Kyle Shanahan can't do it, like, why the hell do you think your football coach is going to do it?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Kyle Shanahan can't do it, but somehow his protege Bobby Sloak is going to do it. No, right. No, thank you.
Someone's asking when's the schedule release. It's usually like this. It's like last year it was May 11th. It's like it's usually on a Thursday, like the second week of May. And there's like last year was super boring because the whole schedule was noon Sunday starts. Like this year, the Texans could go to London. They could open against Kansas City. They could play Dallas on Thanksgiving. There's Christmas Day games. There's Black Friday games. Like it's going to be and the Texans are a widely, I think, desirable team. I think they're in the upper quartile of box office teams this year. You know what I mean? Like of teams that football fans want to watch. I think they're super intriguing.
I'd like to get over to London for one of those games just to see if you're just to see what the actual fan reaction is to like the team that doesn't. I know the Jaguars are kind of like London's team, but it's still very spread out and everything. Mostly I just want to go to London and,
and sit in some pubs.
Bangers and mash and all that stuff. Yeah.
What are bangers?
I'm told that basically the city of London absorbs that game pretty much just like in Houston at any given time when there might be some huge event going on that's going to pack a stadium except you know nothing about it. You know, like some of the exhibition soccer games, for instance, they'll pack the stadium, but you're not even aware that it's going on. That's how Londoners treat the NFL over there. For the most part, people are unaware of it, but the diehard NFL fans are all there.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like background noise. But the ones that get in the stadium are hardcore, right?
Right, right. Yeah. But you know what it's like? It's like the Savannah Bananas. When the Savannah Bananas showed up and they sold out Minute Maid, and we were all like, what's this now?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Apparently the Savannah Bananas are a huge deal, and
yes.
I had no clue about it.
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like, I think in the NFL... when the NFL comes to London, there's a lot of London folks who are like, oh, blimey, what the hell? It's a mate. We're all these superior, the superior breed of people here.
Any chance to hear Seth say oi, I'm here
oi.
For.
Yeah.
Yep.
Talking
yep.
about Americans That's over
it.
The Brits.
That's it, man. That's it.
Exported their finest. Anybody who could jump off that ship when they had the chance.
someone wants to have a documentary crew follow you through the streets of London.
I'm going to dress like fat British people do with a tiny tee on and like hard denim jeans way too tight, acting like...
Yes, let's do this. Let's do
Bollocks hanging out.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Quick reminder, because we may have not had people hear us yesterday or hear our boss on Friday, but and we've got a lot of texts from people yesterday like, hey, you guys sound a whole lot better. The signal is a whole lot better. Like, yeah, if you're just kind of tuning in over the last couple of days or maybe just bumping back into the station, our tower is operating like maximum plus now. We were kind of knocked down for a little while there signal wise, but yeah, tell a friend, anybody who's or download the Odyssey app. That's always an easy way to kind of circumvent any signal issues, but yeah, we're happy to be back at full strength.
It took a little bit longer than we expected, and I called them up one day, and I was like, hey, did you guys try turning it off and then turning it back
right,
on?
Right, right, right. You suggest I said Control-Alt-Delete. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a have you tried?
Yeah. Turning it on and off.
They got sick of that joke about by the eighth time.
Until it turned out that was the problem, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's yeah. All. One of my least favorite parts of any movie was Sling Blade, when Sling Blade tells the mechanic, have you tried filling it with gas? and the guy's like, look at that. Well, he just got a sense for engines. Yeah.
Well, Carl. Okay.
Yeah, the crusty old auto mechanic, been doing this for 30 or 40 years, forgot the simplest of all explanations. Sure.
A life lesson right there for you from Sling Blade. Do sweat the small stuff sometimes. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Again, 10 a.m. uniform reveal, and then 10:01, they're selling them. Cal and Hannah in studio at 11 o'clock with John and Landry on In the Loop. All right, up next, headlines. Astros back at it today. How we feeling? Does one day off get us back to where we're like, okay, looking forward to baseball tonight? They play the Cubs. We'll get to that. They laid out the pitching matchups yesterday, so we'll get to that. Bunch of news around the NFL as we're only a couple days away from the draft. We'll get to some of the quarterback hype going on at the top of the hour.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, good to be with you on a Tuesday. We'll start with the Astros. They were off yesterday. So if you woke up this morning like, hey, I don't have that same feeling in my stomach that I've had 16 times this April and March so far, that's because the Astros didn't play yesterday. So they didn't lose. But they are in Chicago to play the Cubs. Unfortunately, it'd be nice if they were playing the White Sox. That would be the exact elixir they need. The White Sox are terrible. The Cubs are all right this year. 13-9 so far this season, Seth. We've got J.P. France, Spencer Arrighetti, and Justin Verlander taking the hill the next 3 days.
Tonight, J.P. France at least will be facing Jordan Wicks. So you might say, well, doesn't France have like a 7.08 ERA? Mm-hmm. Yes, you nailed it. Jordan Wicks, 5.29 ERA. So there we go. Some opportunity for the Astros to get a bunch more hits and not actually score any runs.
Yeah.
If they could just do it Espada needs to tell those guys, I want you to get up to the plate and just imagine there's nobody on second or third base.
Mm-hmm.
And just to pretend the bases are completely empty and you guys will be just fine.
That's it.
Because as soon as they see anybody that might score, they lose it. They suck.
Brutal. Yeah. So Astros, Cubs, and then they're actually off on Friday as they travel to Mexico City. Because as you're struggling with the worst start your franchise has had in years, that's exactly what you need. A trip to 2 mile elevation to go play the Colorado Rockies in Mexico City. So that's this weekend. Yeah. Saturday and Sunday. We export Astro and Rocky baseball to Mexico.
Didn't the Astros just play somebody that had come back from a foreign location and the couple of their players were just brutally battered? They'd gotten Montezuma's revenge.
I don't think so, because the only two teams I could think of would be the Dodgers and the Padres, who went to Korea to go play.
They
haven't played either of them yet. So yeah, I'm not sure. The Texans, today is uniform reveal day. We're 2 days out from the draft. 3 days out from the Texans making a draft choice if they stay where they're at right now. That'll obviously be a big topic as we move towards draft day. But the uniform reveal day today, Seth, 10 a.m., they're going to drop it on social media. Very anxious to see what kind of bells and whistles they use to inform everybody of these new uniforms. And I'm glad the speculation will be over. The speculation is starting to tweak me a little bit on my timeline. I'm like,
So much of it, because of the various leaks and then fake leaks and everything else like that, it's just gotten, it's one of those things that feels like it happens all the time these days, where there's something going on the internet or on social media where it's just too overwhelming to try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know, baby, this feels to me like baby Gronk risen up that other, the gymnast lady, whatever all that was. I still don't know what it is. I didn't want to sit down and examine and figure out what the hell all the baby Gronk risen up some social media star was. That's how I feel about the jerseys right now.
If you don't know who Seth's talking about, this baby Gronk,
yeah,
I would say be glad. Just be glad. It's a
It's the most entertaining child abuse you've ever seen. Yeah.
it's like a 12-year-old kid whose dad is trotting him around, and he's not even all that entertaining.
The whole thing about Baby Gronk rizzing up Livy Dunn was that you had to Google three separate things. You're like, okay, what is a Baby Gronk? Yes. What does rizzing up mean when the kids say it, and who's Livy Dunn?
That's right.
And like then, I lied, everybody. I actually did the investigation, but it took way longer than I wanted to. So, likewise, I don't know. I'm glad I didn't go to the little special screening that you guys got because I've tried to stay pretty ignorant. You know, you're looking at a guy that's gone 25 years without ever having seen Two Girls, One Cup. Like, I'm pretty good at ignoring a lot of online stuff if I choose to. And, likewise... Here I haven't
guess
seen
what you're
going
to get links to today in your DMs.
No, I've already said it. People have tried me. They've tried and they failed. Yeah. They've never conquered me.
Yeah. Be glad. Uniform reveal today, 10 a.m. and the store opens shortly thereafter. Cal McNair, Hannah McNair in studio within the loop at 11 a.m. today on the station. A quick check of the scoreboard with the NBA playoffs. Cleveland takes a 2-0 lead on Orlando last night. The Knicks take a 2-0 lead on the Philadelphia 76ers last night. I'm sure that's going over swimmingly in Philadelphia this morning. And the Denver Nuggets, they go up 2-0 on the Lakers. The Lakers blew a 20-point lead in that game. The Denver Nuggets, they're really good at basketball, and the Lakers they're coughing up 20-point leads to the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, the Lakers are really good at basketball. Yeah. It's just they're just getting destroyed.
Yeah. Zach Wilson traded to the Denver Broncos yesterday. We touched on that a little bit in the previous segment, but that it doesn't put a capper on the five quarterbacks taken in the top 15 in 2021. But Trevor Lawrence is hanging on to the branch as the river rages beneath him right now. He's the last saving grace of that quarterback class right now.
And he might end up. He'll probably get I'm guessing he'll get a Daniel Jones type of contract.
That's a good guess.
All right. You're the best option we got, and you're a quarterback, supposedly, so let's just go ahead and sign you back up for another couple years. Jarrett Stidham versus Zach Wilson. If you had to call it right now, who wins that competition?
Stidham, I think.
Yeah.
I think Stidham does.
Stidham has more unproven awfulness, whereas Zach Wilson, he's got proven awfulness on tape already. Plus, I think that, man, Sean Payton might break Zach Wilson over his knee. Sean Payton's not an easy guy to play for, and I don't know how much patience he's going to have for Zach Wilson.
No, I don't either. Shtick. Wilson is, and it all comes down to Payton. When you ask me that question, Stidham or Wilson, this is a lotto scratch off. This is Sean Payton. If Sean Payton can get something out of Zach Wilson, this is the next chapter in the great genius book that is Sean Payton. So the Jets had to pay part of his salary just to get him over there in a late round pick swap. Peyton handpicked Stidham and gave him okay backup money. You know what I mean? He's just and Stidham did some decent things last year and did some decent things with the Raiders too when he was given an opportunity 2 years ago.
I didn't realize that Woody Johnson had said this at the NFL Honors in Las Vegas. I guess we were all wrapped up in the two Texans winning rookie
all
of
that
the
bling.
Year.
Yeah, man.
That night, Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets. At the NFL Honors said, we need a backup quarterback. We didn't have one last year.
Oh, boy.
You're number
two overall pick sitting right over
there. Number two overall pick.
Zach Wilson's like, hey, I'm right over here. Yeah.
The actual backup you had was definitely not a backup.
No, nope. Possible tampering charges for Atlanta and Philadelphia. Atlanta in their pursuit of Kirk Cousins and Philadelphia in their pursuit of Saquon Barkley. The Falcon one is considered to be more severe, Seth, and I don't know if it's because they tampered more than Philly or if because it's a quarterback as opposed to a running back. I don't know. I just the rumors I saw yesterday in the Schefter article said that they view the Atlanta thing as more severe to the extent that I don't know if they're going to get their first round pick taken away this year.
Wow.
I've seen they pick eighth. You know, Miami got a first-round pick taken away for tampering with Tom Brady and Sean Payton. You know, so there is some precedent here for punishing a team at a very, very high level. I can't imagine they would do it 2 days before the draft. You know?
Yeah. You know, the one that's interesting to me is, like, if just knowing the surface level stuff about all of this, is I thought that the Eagles potentially having Howie Roseman, the GM, talk to Saquon Barkley, I felt like that was actually more of an egregious tampering, especially, you know, you're in competition with teams like the Texans, perhaps. And if the Texans are abiding by the rules and maybe they really wanted Saquon Barkley, even though he wasn't my first choice, then, yeah, like, that would – I'm PO'd at that. If they were actually – if Howie Roseman is sitting there basically recruiting. Whereas with Cousins, it was more about the medical side of things and Cousins talk. It didn't sound – it wouldn't have been recruiting.
Right.
It would have been them just kind of getting some of the paperwork out of the way ahead of time almost.
Yeah, or getting confirmation that this guy's signable. You know, like,
you know,
like if they're just talking to the medical people. We don't know what the substance of those conversations were, but we do know that Kirk Cousins is coming off an Achilles tear. So, just maybe trying to make sure the Carfax checks out, you know?
And it might just it might just be that maybe there was no actual, whatever conversation there was between Roseman and Barkley may have been minimal or non-existent as they claim.
Yep.
The agent just saying there was no communication.
Procedurally, both teams are violating the tampering rules. And then it comes down to probably the substance
allegedly,
of the conversation.
Allegedly.
And then it comes down to the substance of what the conversations were. All right,
get your son on the phone. He's a recently
ponytail lawyer. He ain't up right
can
now.
Can you call him an attorney yet? Because he hasn't passed the bar yet.
Yeah,
can you call him an attorney once they graduate, though?
I don't think so. I think you actually have to pass the bar to be an attorney. I'm pretty sure.
That doesn't seem fair.
No, but we can call him ponytail lawyer. Like, that's not even really like a title. He'll always be the ponytail lawyer.
As long as he's not presenting himself as the ponytail lawyer.
Yeah, so, like, he's probably trademarked it.
He's going to fight the system from the inside, Sean. I've got high hopes for this kid.
That's it. Last year's draft silliness was the Texans and C.J. Stroud and the S2. And the Texans maybe not even taking a quarterback. This year's draft silliness is at the number two spot. But it seems like everybody's in lockstep on this one. We will have many of the experts weighing in here shortly. And Ross Tucker joins us at 7:15 on the show. Stay there.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.